It is 12 o'clock and time for the KMXT Midday Report. Thank you for listening to KMXT, broadcasting on 100.1 FM. It is your public radio station here in beautiful downtown Kodiak, Alaska, where we have temperatures in the lower 40s, a light rain, a foggy mist, and the prediction of showers for the rest of the day and cloudy skies.
Live from NPR News, I'm Lakshmi Singh. Democrats are facing new setbacks in their national redistricting battle with Republicans for control of the U.S. Congress. In Virginia, the state Supreme Court struck down a voter-approved congressional map that favored Democrats on the grounds proper procedures were violated. Also today, in Alabama, Republicans approve plans for new primary elections if courts allow GOP-drawn House districts to be used this November. Yesterday in Tennessee, a GOP-backed plan prevailed to carve up a Democratic-held black-majority district covering Memphis. The actions in the South come days after the U.S. Supreme Court's conservative supermajority issued a ruling on Louisiana that weakened the Voting Rights Act's protections against racial discrimination. A group of protesters is suing the Department of Homeland Security to stop federal officers from taking the DNA of U.S. citizens arrested while protesting the agency's immigration enforcement tactics. NPR's Meg Anderson has more.
The four people who brought the case say they were peacefully protesting outside an ICE detention center near Chicago when they were arrested. Each was forced to give a DNA sample. Two were never charged, and the other two faced misdemeanor charges that were later dismissed. But they say the government still has their genetic profile. DHS did not respond to a request for comment, but in an earlier statement, DHS told NPR that federal law requires them to collect the DNA of people they arrest. The lawsuit argues, however, that a 2013 Supreme Court case only allows the practice in the case of serious crimes. Meg Anderson, NPR News.
President Trump announced on social media today a three-day ceasefire between Russia and Ukraine, as well as an exchange of 1,000 prisoners from each side. The State Department says it will host another round of talks between Israel and Lebanon next week. Secretary of State Marco Rubio says it is in everyone's interest to stop Hezbollah from firing rockets at Israel. Here's NPR's Michelle Kellerman.
Secretary of State Marco Rubio says the goal is to have a strong Lebanese government in control of its territory without an Iranian-backed militia threatening anyone.
We want the relations between Israel and Lebanon, its legitimate government, to be very strong. The impediment to that is Hezbollah.
Secretary Rubio launched the talks between the Israeli and Lebanese ambassadors in Washington in the middle of April, and President Trump joined them just over a week later. Thursday and Friday will be the third such gathering, even as Israel continues to occupy large parts of southern Lebanon and continues to exchange fire with Hezbollah despite a ceasefire. Michelle Kellerman, NPR News, the State Department.
This is NPR News.
NPR News is presentada a usted en parte por la Providence Kodiak Island Centro de Asesoramiento. Para una cita o más información, por favor, llama al 907-481-2400.
For KMXT News, I'm Terry Haynes. Kodiak College's top administrator is transitioning to a statewide role as the Director of Workforce Development for the University of Alaska System. KMXT's Davis Hovey has more.
Jaselyn Keyes took over as director of Kodiak College's enrollment crash during the pandemic in 2020. Under her watch, the college says enrollment has rebounded. Its role as a hub for workforce development has expanded. Its finances have turned around, and it's become stronger and more stable. For example, 2 years ago, Keyes helped bring in a federal grant worth nearly $4 million to support seasonal and migrant workers pursuing higher education. She already began transitioning to her new role in February, but is still living and working in Kodiak. Jackie Kaysen, an English professor at the University of Alaska Anchorage with more than two decades of experience in the system, will be the college's interim director. Keys will be recognized during the Kodiak College commencement ceremony tonight when 38 students are set to graduate with a variety of associate degrees and certificates. That includes five GEDs, four occupational endorsement certificates in marine service technology, I'll be one of those recipients, and three Aleutic language certificates. Tonight's commencement will also be Professor Kitty Deal's last as a regular staff member. Deal started at the college 15 years ago and is set to retire at the end of June. UAA has awarded her emerita status, the institution's highest honorary title for retiring faculty. Kodiak College's commencement begins at the Gerald C. Wilson Auditorium at 7 p.m. tonight. Reporting in Kodiak, I'm Davis Hovey.
Hundreds of military members are descending on Kodiak Archipelago communities this week to provide no-cost health care services to local residents. It's part of a national training program called Arctic Care, a partnership between Kodiak Area and Native Association and the U.S. Department of Defense brings Arctic Care to the island every other May. Lieutenant Aneth George is the officer in charge for this year's Arctic Care in Kodiak. She says military members are coming to the island from an Air Force base in Oklahoma, Lackland Air Force Base in Texas, and the Delaware National Guard.
Besides that, there are, I want to say, over 50 different units from different states, different locations, some on the East Coast, all coming to participate for this joint mission.
Roughly 250 military members total, consisting of active duty, Air Force Reserves, and National Guard members, will be spread across Kodiak and five other communities in the archipelago over the next week or so. Their visit to rural Alaska is an opportunity for joint training and to increase deployment readiness, according to the Defense Department's Innovative Readiness Training Program. Arctic Care units will be providing medical, dental, optometry, behavioral health, and nutrition services for free. Medical services in Kodiak and surrounding communities will start on a delayed schedule, according to CANA, due to some military equipment arriving later than expected. Services are scheduled to begin in Kodiak on Sunday, May 10th, and in Port Lyons, Yuzinki, Okiak, Old Harbor, and Larson Bay starting the next week. Arctic Care offered veterinary services when the program came to Kodiak in 2024, but this year the military forces did not bring a veterinary unit with them. Nicole Miles, the Vice President of Public Affairs for CANA, says the military only offers a few veterinary units for Arctic Care missions around the country, and they are all volunteer.
We apply for it every year. It's something that we know our community needs and they want, and we'll continue to add it to our applications. And this year, it just simply was not available.
For the latest information about this month's Arctic Care or to schedule an appointment, go online to kodiakhealthcare.org/arctic-care. A commercial fisherman from Kodiak will plead guilty to stealing 16 yellow cedar trees from the Tongass National Forest in southeast Alaska. The Alaska Beacon reports Mitchell Keplinger, charged with the theft of government property in April, was scheduled to appear in the U.S. District Court for the District of Alaska on Wednesday for his formal arraignment. Keplinger signed a plea deal the day after he was charged. Under the terms of the deal, he will avoid jail time but will pay $85,682.17 in restitution and be on probation for 3 years, a term that may later be reduced to no less than 18 months. That would be significantly lower than the maximum penalty for the theft of government property, which can be punished by up to 10 years in prison and a fine of up to $250,000. Keplinger's attorney did not return a phone call seeking comment on Wednesday. According to the text of the plea deal, Keplinger and his boat, the 54-foot seiner Alin Shack, were working in the Sitka herring seine fishery in late March and early April of 2024. After the fishery closed, Keplinger used his boat and crew to, quote, harvest Alaska yellow cedar trees on U.S. Forest Service lands near Sawmill Creek, Sugarloaf Mountain, and in and around Sitka Sound, end quote. The plea deal states that Keplinger knew that a permit was required to cut the trees and knew that he did not have that permit. Paul Robbins, a spokesman for the U.S. Forest Service in the Tongass, said by email that yellow cedar is, quote, important culturally, ecologically, and economically, close quote. The 16 trees allegedly taken by Keplinger yielded 22 logs, quote, belonging to the United States with a market value of $4,476.25, close quote, according to the plea deal. Keplinger then used his boat to take the logs to Kodiak, the plea deal states. The restitution required under the plea deal includes the cost of transporting the logs back to Sitka and to the Forest Service. Court documents did not state why Keplinger took the trees or how the theft was discovered. The Alaska Senate passed its take on the state budget yesterday, setting the stage for final negotiations as the legislature approaches the deadline to end its regular session. It's a more conservative proposal than what the House passed last month. Despite a jump in oil revenue due to the war in Iran, Senate Finance Committee co-chair Senator Lyman Hoffman says the Senate isn't going on a spending spree.
In short, Mr. President, we have a budget that accounts for wild swings in the price of oil, leaving money on the table to take care of supplementals next year. The other body's budget requires a draw of the Constitutional Budget Reserve account of over $300 million. This budget does not.
That conservative approach led senators to set the permanent fund dividend at $1,000 plus a $150 additional payment intended to compensate Alaskans for high energy costs. The Senate's total payout is $350 less than the $1,500 PFD approved by the House. But the House's budget also had a more than $300 million deficit. The final figure will likely be negotiated by a conference committee set up to find a compromise. Lawmakers decisively rejected an effort by Fairbanks Republican Senator Rob Myers to provide a roughly $3,800 dividend. That would be in line with a statute the lawmakers haven't followed in a decade. Myers says using the permanent fund to pay for government, as has been the case since 2018 following a fall in oil prices, means lawmakers aren't incentivized to drive economic growth.
Using the permanent fund is the worst revenue option out there for our state. Economically, a much better use of the permanent fund is getting the money out to the people, which is what the dividend does.
Senators voted down the proposal 17-3. Opponents included three fellow members of the Senate's all-Republican minority. Senate Minority Leader Mike Kronk of Tok said he had to be honest with his constituents that it just wasn't realistic.
I fully support a full PFD if we could actually pay a full PFD. Our job is to balance the budget. That's our number one job.
The large PFD would cost $2.5 billion, most of that coming from the state's $3 billion savings account. The budget senators passed includes $111 million in supplemental funding for public schools dependent on oil prices, again, far less than the nearly $160 million that passed the House. The budget also includes specific funding to help blunt the impact of high energy prices on schools and local governments. But unlike the House's version, the Senate's budget does not revive a long-dormant program that helps individual low-income Alaskans with their heating bills. An amendment on the Senate floor also added $650,000 to the 2026 election, including prepaid envelopes for absentee ballots. That partially funded a nearly $5 million request by Governor Dunleavy, who vetoed an election reform package that included prepaid envelopes last week. As much as anywhere in Alaska, Anchorage is an interface between wild animals and humans, some of whom intentionally or unintentionally feed the wildlife that also call the city home. There have been concerns for decades around residents allowing local bears to get into trash cans or bird feeders, but as Alaska Public Media's Wesley Early reports, it was a series of eagle encounters that led Anchorage officials to recently add fines for those who feed wildlife in the city.
There's a part of Chance New Muldoon Park in East Anchorage that locals can let their dogs roam off leash, and even a separate park just for smaller dogs. But in February, Brad Muir was hearing reports about other animals making appearances.
A handful of incidences where the eagles had swooped down into the small dog park side, kind of swooping in after people's pets in the dog park.
Muir is the natural resources manager for Anchorage's Parks and Recreation Department. He also heard reports of birds fighting with each other over meat that had been left out.
So I came out here, discovered many eagles and birds of prey here. I actually witnessed someone feeding the eagles. In that moment, I counted over 55 eagles and ravens here trying to feed.
Muir says he hasn't heard any reports of eagles at the park since March, but the safety risk posed by people feeding Anchorage's wildlife led the assembly to pass an ordinance in April prohibiting it, adding new fines for those who do. While the eagle encounters are what led to the ordinance and the new fines, the risk of feeding wildlife extends to other animals, like moose, says Corey Stantorf. He's the Anchorage area biologist for the State Department of Fish and Game.
Moose get extremely aggressive when they've been fed by humans and handouts, and they start associating humans with handouts, and that next person that doesn't have a handout, the moose gets very aggressive with them and can stomp them and pretty severely injure them.
Even if you don't mean to feed an animal, leaving food out or unattended or not securing trash cans can invite bears, which Stantorf says are even more food motivated.
That keeps them coming back into neighborhoods and not off into the woods feeding on natural forage, because there's plenty of natural forage for bears, moose, lynx, wolverine here in Anchorage. We just need to help them stay on that and keep them out of neighborhoods.
The fines start at $100 and go as high as $500 if you negligently feed a wild animal. If you intentionally feed a wild animal, the fines start at $250 and still cap at $500. The ordinance is in compliance with a state ban on feeding wildlife, and other communities like Valdez, Ketchikan, Homer, and Adak have similar policies. Muir says there isn't going to be a patrol out surveying the streets of Anchorage waiting to catch people feeding wildlife. Instead, the department plans to rely on reports from the community.
It's not about the fines, it's about the actions. We just want the feeding of the eagles and creating dangerous situations for our users and for the eagles to stop.
And if you're someone who keeps a bird feeder up, the ordinance won't penalize you, but Stantorf says you should still take them down in the spring.
The department recommends come April 1, all those bird feeders, all the bird seed be cleaned up and brought back in, because during the summer months, a bird feeder is a bear feeder.
As for trash cans and the bears who love to get into them, you shouldn't be fined if a bear gets into your trash can, so long as you're storing the trash securely inside the can. The new fines went into effect April 28th, when the Anchorage Assembly passed the ordinance. Reporting in Anchorage, I'm Wesley Early.
Kodiak College celebrates the class of 2026. To all graduates, your hard work, determination, and resilience have brought you here, and Kodiak College is so proud. Thank you to the families, faculty, and friends who supported these students along the way. Whether you're heading into a career or continuing your education, your community is cheering you on. Congratulations, graduates, from everyone at Kodiak College.
This is the Island Messenger, a look at personal messages, the weather, and community announcements.
Good afternoon, and welcome to your Island Messenger for Friday. It is the 8th day of May, the year 2026. Sun rose today at 6 a.m. It will set again at 10:12. That will give us 16 hours and 12 minutes of glorious daylight, a gain of 4 minutes and 25 seconds compared to yesterday. Our record high temperature for this date was 60 degrees, set in 1918 and then again in 2022. And our record low was 22, set in 1972. It is currently 41 degrees in Kodiak. It is lightly raining, foggy, and misty. Out at the airport, they show they have northeast winds at 9 miles per hour and 5 miles of visibility. Look for cloudy skies for the rest of the day, overnight, and mostly cloudy skies tomorrow. Northeast winds today to 10, turning to the north to 10 tonight, and then to the northwest tomorrow to 15, gusting to 20 tomorrow. We're looking at high temperatures in the mid-40s, overnight low about 39 tonight. And showers are likely today. Rain is likely overnight tonight, and just a chance of rain on Saturday. For Sunday, they are calling for partly sunny skies with scattered showers all day. We have an outgoing tide. Our next low tide will be at 1:18 this afternoon. It'll be 0.8 feet, followed by a high tide at 8:14 p.m. of 5.4 feet. Over on the west side, your low tide will happen at 1:34 this afternoon and be 1.6 feet in Larsen Bay, followed by a high tide at 8:23 p.m. of 9.8 feet. Your moon is at 62.2%. It is waning. Mariners, here is your weather forecast for Marmot Island to Sitkanak out to 15 nautical miles. Small craft advisory tonight and tomorrow. Northeast 20 today with 5-foot seas. For tonight, northeast 15 except north of Dangerous Cape. Look for north 25 north of Dangerous Cape after midnight and 8-foot seas. For tomorrow, northwest 20 and seas at 8 feet on our east side. Over in the Shelikof Strait, northeast winds to 20 knots for today and tonight with 5-foot seas. For tomorrow, northwest 15 and 3-foot seas. Just outside of the city of Kodiak and Chiniak Bay, northeast 15 should come down to 10 this afternoon, 4-foot seas. For tonight, northeast 15 and seas at 3 feet. And for tomorrow, northwest 15 with 3-foot seas, becoming west 10 Saturday night. Seas coming all the way down to 2 feet on Saturday night. Today at the library at 3 p.m. is the world-famous Lego Club. Children under 10 must bring an adult with them. On Saturday, the library will roll out its new cooking cart for a demonstration on how to make pancit. Pancit is a traditional Filipino noodle dish made from noodles, vegetables, a protein, and a savory sauce, and it is delicious. The recipe will be given out at the end of the demonstration. Space is limited to about 15 people, and you can go to sign up at SignUp Genius at the library's website or call the library at 907-486-8686 to sign up. But again, that's tomorrow at 12:30 p.m. On Sunday, they will be having their next edition of rehearsals, open music workshop at the Kodiak Island Brewery and Still. Workshop a song, sing with a live band, jam out, or play music for the first time. Anything goes. It's for all ages and all skill levels. And it goes from 1 p.m. to 6 p.m. And at 6 p.m., it's showtime for anyone who wants to perform what was workshopped during the day. It's a lot of fun, and it's also a lot of fun to sit and listen to. And again, that's Saturday, beginning at 1 p.m. at the Kodiak Island Brewery and Still. The Kodiak Public Library Association will be having its Crab Fest book sale in the book barn in the Kodiak Public Library's multipurpose room during Crab Fest. That's May 22nd and 23rd, 10 a.m. to 4 p.m. Mark your calendars. And they are accepting book donations for the Crab Fest book sale. They can be dropped off at Cost Savers or email hello at kpla.us for donations over one box of books. The chance to learn about Kodiak State Parks will happen on Monday. That's when the regular meeting of the Kodiak State Parks Citizens Advisory Board will happen, and it's happening at the Fort Abercrombie State Park office at 6 p.m. It's the organization that provides support, education, and outreach for our island's state parks. A board seat is available. If you join the board, you can be even more involved with your local state parks. Public input is always welcome and encouraged. And again, that's 6 p.m. tonight at the Fort Abercrombie State Park office. Next Wednesday, the Planning and Zoning Commission will be holding a work session in the Borough Assembly Chambers at 6:30 p.m. Next Thursday, the Kodiak Island Borough Assembly will be having a work session in the Borough Assembly Chambers at 6:30 p.m. Both meetings are open to the public, and the packets are available at the Kodiak Island Borough's website. Contact the Borough Clerk's Office at 907-486-9310 with any questions. And it's official, spring is here. And that means the Spring Community Fundraiser Plant Sale is happening for KMXT. This Saturday starts at 12 noon at the usual place at 1223 West Kuskoff Street, which is off Mission Road. They'll be featuring vegetables, flower and herb seedlings, perennials, berries, rhubarb, shrubs, indoor plants, and more. For more information on how to donate plants, call or text Marion at 907-539-5009. But otherwise, that plant sale is happening tomorrow, starts at 12 noon at 1223 West Kuskoff. And that phone number again, 907-539-5009. Are you a high school student on the hunt for a job and don't know where to start? Well, you might start at the Career Club at the Kodiak Job Center. It happens every third Wednesday, 2:45 to 4:30 p.m. at the Job Center. And topics include job-seeking assistance, computer and internet access, resume writing, mock interviews, work prep training and tests, and much more. If you have questions or would like to sign up, call them up at 907-486-3105.
Listen for the Island Messenger here on Public Radio KMXT three times a day, Monday through Friday at 9 a.m., during the Midday Report at 12:20, and in the evening at 7 o'clock. If you have a community announcement or personal message, including lost and found items or pets, you can call KMXT at 486-3181, fax us at 486-2733, or email psa@kmxt.org.
Hello, Kodiak, and welcome to the May 8th edition of Island Byways. I'm Pam Foreman. The gradual greening of Kodiak continues. Beach ryegrass has grown about an inch in a week's time. Beach peas and other beach floral plants have started popping up through the sand, and salmonberry buds are showing up in more places. Although our nights are still pretty cool, plant life is coming along nicely. I spent a wonderful day out the road on Wednesday and saw gray whales in Passagshack Bay, mostly in front of the beaches to the left of the boat landing area. Some people report seeing them close to shore all along that side of the bay. Others have seen gray whales from Surfer Beach, Fossil Beach, and the Narrow Cape Cliffs. These are some of the earliest sightings of grays for the year. There are many more gray whales headed our way. Bring your binoculars for the best viewing and stay away from those cliff edges. If you look up from the beach, you'll see that some of those edges that look like sturdy grass from the top of the cliff are actually crumbling and curling under. Speaking of things green, the KMXT Spring Plant Sale is on Saturday, May 9th at noon. The sale goes until everything is gone, but things do go kind of fast, so don't dawdle. You will find seedlings for veggies, flowers, and herbs, and you'll also find rhubarb, shrubs, indoor plants, and many other things. On top of all of that, you can ask questions and get expert advice from Master Gardener Marion Owen. That's all happening Saturday from noon until whenever things are gone. It's at 1223 West Kuskoff Street. And finally, a happy Mother's Day to all the moms and grandmoms out there. And that's it for Island Byways this week. Have fun and stay safe out there. Thanks for listening.